Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
A podcast for Bonnarooians by Bonnarooians. I'm Brad, that's Barry, it's Lord Taco. It's a very, very exciting day, a big day. I am so thrilled to announce the big news of the week. Our long national nightmare, we can finally breathe again because Supermarket Sweep is coming back to television. Now, I know there are so many things that we need to get to when it comes to Supermarket Sweep coming back to television, but Barry, when you hear the beep, it's time for Supermarket Sweep.
Amazing. Amazing. This is what we've been missing. I can exhale.
You can finally come out of the shadows, my friend, because it's time to put some meat in a cart and drag a giant parrot around a supermarket. I am thrilled that Supermarket Sweep's back on television.
It's going to be so gross to see what people think is important as we come out of this.
No, this is what's important. This is what I've been looking forward to for God knows how long. That's really the big news I have. You have anything?
Not a paycheck. Paycheck. Being able to pay rent. None of that.
Who needs a paycheck when I get 2-for-1 diapers? And I.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
That's all I got for this episode. What about you guys?
Oh, no, I'm done. That's good.
Okay, good.
All right.
Yes.
Russ, you got anything?
Yeah. let's see. Did something happen? No, I don't think so. I think I'm good.
All right. Good seeing you guys.
Yeah.
Just wanted to check in.
Good. I don't know about this. You, Barry, you look the same. But, Russ, you look like you are thinner.
Well, thank you.
Has
I
Russ
promise
lost
I don't.
Weight? I wasn't going to say it. Russ, have you lost weight? Have you been working out? Have you been doing like a yoga routine?
I've done a cleanse and
a cleanse.
Yeah.
What is that? What did you do? What does that mean?
PBR cleanse.
What? A what cleanse? What are we talking about?
If I was going to do a cleanse, that would be the cleanse.
Well, you'd have to do a PBR cleanse. He doesn't drink anything else. What else?
Yeah, does that
cleanse?
Mean you did nothing but or no PBR?
That's what I was cleansing with was PBR.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah. You bathed in it, you drank it, you shampooed in it. Oh, all right.
Maybe that's why his skin looks so fresh and young.
Who can argue? Look at him. He looks beautiful.
Great.
Yeah, you're turning into one big blue ribbon.
Yeah,
that's funny. I saw him last night, Brad. We went. Oh. We actually went out and Daniel from the Rue Bus.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Went and had some beers downtown in Chattanooga. He came up and hiked, and you could have seen Russ's face when the waiter said, "No, we have PBR."
It's become troublesome for Taco because he's just so worried every time he goes somewhere, they're not going to have it.
It's a big concern, but I thought I was going to have to drink a High Life.
Seriously, what were your decisions? It was either water or a cider, which I don't understand at all.
He'll do a cider. He'll do a cider if he's at
sometimes.
If he has to.
Yeah.
Yeah, or nothing, or you were going to go without. And then he said, no, we have PBR. Because, of course, he had his, what, his mask.
Mask had the PBR logo on it. Yeah.
Of course it does.
Your Which mouth is how should the waiter, have a PBR logo on it.
Which is how the waiter knew, I think. I'm not going to, you know, I think that was his clue. Yeah. But it changed the whole mood of the evening.
Where did you kids go?
We went to Proof. It's kind of new.
Yes, it is. It's got a very nice little patio, right?
That's right. It has now, a nice patio.
But when you guys, when you showed up, Barry, how did you possibly know how to function since it was sort of dark out?
It wasn't dark. It was still gorgeous. It was still early. It was only 5. It was
only 5. Okay, perfect. Yeah,
so I took a nap.
Yeah.
I took two naps. No, I took a nap. And let me just say, and Russ can verify, those guys aren't playing. The door was locked. You had to knock to get in. Once you got in, they took your temperature. They wrote your temperature down and a phone number.
Uh-huh.
Walked you to a table. It was pretty serious stuff, right?
They're very strict. It's probably the best place I've been as far as responsibility with doing all the stuff, temperature checks.
I mean, look, masks. I just watched this from afar, and, you know, there are just certain pockets of the country that just don't feel like they're taking this still seriously, and Tennessee is top of my list.
No, you're right.
So much so that the White House has reached out and said, y'all probably need to start wearing masks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how bad we are.
It's remarkable. You know, we have a friend who, I won't name his name, it rhymes with Brian Stone, and he is the biggest, you know, says he's the biggest anti-Trumper liberal on the planet, but yet this man cannot stop finding himself at fried chicken restaurants every weekend and then to a Vols game. You know, it's 25,000 people.
No, it was the Braves.
He went to the Vols game yesterday.
Did he too?
Yeah, he's gone to a Braves game, a Vols game. I mean,
why not both?
Yeah, at this point, Brian, you are a walking super spreader. The state of Tennessee is just not, they're just not with it. Now, with that being said, I will say, and I've said this to Taco and to Barry and to anybody that'll listen, if you're going to do something, it feels like you better do it now. Because, you know, that next wave is probably going to hit us sometime in the winter. And, you know, I tell the friends, like, if you're coming down, you better do it now, because if you wait till November, December, we're going to be right back into this.
Well, I mean, here was the thing. And again, Russ can verify with me. Yesterday was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Daniel came up to hike. I mean, if you were going to define a beautiful day, it was yesterday. And, and we went to the right place. Taco picked it. Great pick. But the street, you know, and Brad, you know, it's ML King, as Chris Rock says. Why is 9th Street renamed ML King? It's always the worst street in every city that they do. But now we've got several bars up and down that street, a couple breweries, and it was packed.
Yeah,
it wasn't when we first got there, but it was packed, and because it was so pretty out.
Yeah, I mean, it's over in Louisiana. I mean, at this point, it's completely over. We were walking around the neighborhood, and this has happened the last couple of weekends, but in our neighborhood, we're 5 blocks from the Bayou. And at the Bayou, every Friday night is a 10-piece brass band that's playing right on the water, and there might be 200 people out. You know, it's over for a lot of people. They've said, screw it. I'm not playing this game anymore. I've got to enjoy this while I got it. And, I mean, this weather is either going to make us all feel normal for a little while, or it's going to cause a big mess. I don't really know. But, you know, for right now, I'm enjoying the hell out of it before all hell breaks. So, I mean, Orleans Parish, we only had 35 cases 3 days ago. You know, you guys, on the other hand, are exploding. And especially in your county, you guys are lapping us by 5-6 times. And, you know, we should be the epicenter of it. But no, it turns out
it's 'cause
Hamilton County, Tennessee.
It's hit the rural counties. It's hit the state. I mean, the state, we're second highest numbers of the whole event.
Mm-hmm.
I think
and
so, yeah.
It's because
and
of
with,
the
And
rule.
With all that being said, you know, to Bonnaroo for a second, you know, I read on some of the social medias that, you know, some of the furloughed guys at AC Entertainment are officially cut. There's absolutely, and if you haven't figured this out by now, everything's shut down until summer. I thought the biggest piece of news happened in, since the last time we were, you know, doing a show was that Bonnaroo went ahead and changed the dates. As if we predicted it with Jeff Cuellar at our last episode when I asked him, are you guys thinking about making this, you know, a for real thing in the future, moving it to September? And he was very coy, and we should have seen right through that answer. And then literally 2 days later, they announced the date change.
Yeah, I love watching him react to some of your questions and our questions. And, yeah, that was a professional non-answer.
Yeah,
answer.
No kidding. No kidding. And we really should have seen right through it. If we didn't like him so much, we would have probably pressed him.
I think
he's
terrific. You know, then he's got his job to do, and I don't blame him. And I don't know. I mean, you know, we should probably lay claim to the fact that they announced it 2 days after you ask. You know, maybe we forced their hand because
I highly doubt it. But I mean,
you can't prove it's not true.
Well, okay. you're right, Don. You're right.
But it's
just a great point because it tell if you can't tell from them moving the date to September how this is all going to go for the next, you know, 8 months. I don't know if you're really paying much attention because, you look, we said it 6 months ago. The whole first quarter of the year 2021 is done. Second quarter, you might as well, you know, knock that out too. Third quarter is when it seems like something might start to happen. So a year from now, we're going to finally be back into it. That is what they're hoping. And,
hopefully.
Yeah, you've got Coachella moved their dates. Bonnaroo's already moved their dates. You know, maybe September, the vaccine comes and somebody feels confident enough in it. And, you know, we're back into this time next year when it's pretty again. But by the way, next September, going to be 200 degrees. You know, it's going to be as hot as it's ever been. So good luck, pal. Good luck.
The two or three pieces of news that I wanted to get to. That's one. And I'm just sort of laying it out. We'll come back to it. But Manchester Mayor Lonnie Norman died. We want to mention that. That's happened since we've been on the air.
I'll stop you right there. In all of the time, have you ever interviewed him? Have you ever talked to him?
Yeah, and you asked me that before, and I don't know that you met him, but he was definitely at the walkthrough. Probably all of them that we've done.
Huh. I guess he's always there. I don't remember.
You remember, he's the guy that gave the key to the city to Brandi Carlile.
Yeah, I do remember that. I just don't remember that being him. But
that was him.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's significant to us because of the relationship between the festival. But back to them moving to September.
Well, I want to stay right there for a second. Okay. But who takes over? I guess the lieutenant mayor? Who takes over in a situation like that?
I think the vice mayor, who is, I think, in charge now. And that's all I know. I don't know if they're going to hold another election, or
do we know anything about this vice mayor? Is she or he, you know, a Bonnaroo fan? Are they a friend of the festival or not?
I mean, let's be honest, you're an idiot if you're not. I mean, Manchester is a bump. The amount of money that festival pours in and the relationship that they had, and obviously I say that cynically, but it's been a good relationship. It's been both ways. There are some people, and I've run into several over the years, who was at a party. I guess I had a Bonnaroo t-shirt on, and a guy came up and started talking because his family owns the property right there at the entrance. Not the one we use, but the main entrance. And his grandfather hates it, but his dad loves it. They've made a lot of money on it. So
doing what?
Everything from parking to just
selling water.
Beers, yeah. All kinds of things. The property value, just, you know, so
does it shock you at all that grandpa hates it?
No.
Yeah. Me neither.
No, that's probably why he moved there. Right. He moved out there for the quiet
away
and the
from
peace.
These kids.
Yeah, and then once a year it becomes you know, Woodstock or so.
I'll be honest with you. I would love to talk to Grandpa. If we could find Grandpa, because, you know, we don't talk to many haters about this. I'd love to know, like, how the local community feels about some of these things and some of these people. And, you know, there's got to be a push and pull love-hate relationship with it. It's almost like having an Airbnb next door to you. Well, you know, I really like that they're there, but, boy, it's really a pain in the ass that they keep coming and going and coming and going.
One of my favorite quotes from doing this for so many years, Steve Graves was the sheriff for many years. He lost the election probably 3 years ago, but he was great. He answered the phone every time I called, you know, gave me what I wanted. He was really good to work with. But I asked him one day, I said, by the way, this festival brings a lot of money to your city and your county. What do you think of it? And he said, well, it's against every single thing we train for. But, you know, I have to do my job.
Yeah. Money talks, man. Money talks.
I mean, you know, he wasn't saying we're looking the other way. I don't think they looked the other way. It's just, it's funny.
They don't interject until they have to.
I mean, we were talking last night with around the table. It's just, the rule is don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
That's the Bonnaroo rule, right?
Man, wait a second. Let me write that down because I don't know if I adhere to that.
I was shocked to hear that rule.
Don't be a dumbass. You know, don't make them deal with you. That's the basic rule.
Yeah.
So, anyway, and I think hi, Hillary.
Oh, Hillary, hey. Right through the show. Okay.
Hello.
What do you think we're doing here?
I think she's over it.
Yeah, no shit.
I think she's over it. She's got the COVID attitude. I'm over it.
I guess.
But anyway, Lonnie was terrific, and a lot of people involved knew him and appreciated what he did, and obviously Manchester has benefited. He was a third term. I didn't realize that.
Interesting.
I did meet the previous mayor, whose name I don't know, but anyway, Lonnie died from COVID-19.
Yeah, that's too. It's really sad. Do we have any information about him or you know, his family or services, et cetera?
No, I mean, we can look it up. It was I was glad to see. I think is the right word. Though surprised is probably a better word. At the amount of tributes that poured in, from all over the country.
I mean, we've made light of it, but it's a very, very sad situation. And you know, the human toll is not too far when you want to reach. You know, you can find somebody pretty close to you that is either had it or has died because of it. And it's really, really sad because, you know, it does feel like, for all intents and purposes, you know, Manchester may be a blip or a bump on the radar of towns in Tennessee, but, you know, to be a mayor of a town like that for three terms, you know, he's gotta have something that people really like about him. And
he was the first African American mayor.
Oh, really?
Of Manchester. I mean, if people don't understand, Manchester is in middle.
I'm trying to think. I'm
Tennessee.
Trying to think of another African-American mayor in Tennessee ever.
Curiously, nearby Winchester.
Really?
Actually, yeah. But it's the first time.
It's like Barry's done an article about this already.
might have studied on this. Yeah, I'm not just pulling this out of Google here.
By the way, there was a statement released, and I'll put it up on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. The service is today, so... they're asking that in lieu of flowers, donations may be made to St. Jude's Children's Hospital and the Bonnaroo Works Fund.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very, very kind. What was the other piece of news that BC wanted to get
through?
I just
wanted to go back to the September thing. Mm-hmm. So I've had several occasions to do interviews with people running events, big and small, from the Signal, which is owned by Marathon out of Nashville. They own Marathon and
Exit In.
No, that's was Chris. He used to own it and he sold it. But there's a one in St. Louis. But anyway, one of my questions, and it was just a random question, was does this fact that Bonnaroo has moved to September impact you at all? Did that come up in your board meetings, whatever?
And, who are you asking this of?
The local Signal, venue? The Tivoli, okay. Marathon.
These are local venues in and around the city. Gotcha.
Regional.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the answer was sort of yes and no.
Why do you think that that's they're laying a groundwork and people are going to follow them, or is Bonnaroo following local venues?
That's what I wanted to know. Yeah. That's what I wanted to know. And it was, it's an unfair question, because I was asking them to sort of put themselves in somebody else's place, and that's the way they reacted. And I want to make sure that's clear. So, I mean, their answers are not meant to be definitive. I was just asking because I find it curious. Does that announcement rock your world, basically, is what I was asking. And they were like, no, because they're a huge event. And I think this was the third point I wanted to make, because Daniel sort of made it last night, Russ, if you remember. And you and I have talked about it, Brad, but not to this fine a point, is the overseas acts. You know, books a lot of international acts. And so while we have focused on the regional and national and when will they start coming across country, I haven't really honestly thought about, you know, coming overseas.
They don't want to.
They don't want to. They're not going to. No.
They do not want to come here.
That's the point.
Would you?
It pushes everything. Yeah, that's the point. It pushes everything.
I'll be honest with you. It depends on what happens on November 3rd.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot. You know, supposedly everything is fixed on November 4th.
We'll
that's
see.
What I'm...
I got it.
Fingers crossed.
We can only hope. But, okay, so I understand the angle that you're making, but unfortunately, you're in a city, and some cities are like this too, where, you know, like we said before, they're acting like this doesn't exist anymore. So you've got venues in your city, Barry, booking shows.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I have this conversation all the time, and I have to be honest with you, as a reporter, I'm not sure where to fall on this.
Right. Man, that's such a great point, Barry, because you have two masters to serve here.
Exactly.
There's an information part here that you feel like you need to get out, but there's also a public health part of this that you've got to, you know, maintain some wherewithal. If you're pushing people to go do a public into a public space and go to a show, are you being irresponsible as
That's
a journalist?
That's exactly the question. Mm. It's what, not what did, my what, job to tell you what to do or
what
not.
What do your bosses say?
Do your job, which is provide information, which is what I've done. Now, with all of the stories that I try to write, I always include, you know, Tennessee pledge guidelines, masks, all that are mandated, because they are. The county has mandated them. But and I've gotten a few people who've made comments. Why are you basically pimping these events to get people out? And I'm like, that's my job. My job is to tell you what's happening. You decide whether you're going or not.
You're not really in a place where you could editorialize somebody else's event.
No.
Unless it's afterwards. Now, have you gone to any of these shows and then written about them afterwards?
No, but I've reached out to people who have, and I've tried to include that in. Do you feel safe? And those sorts of things. Now, but
these events also happen after 5 o'clock. Difficult for Barry to get to.
Yeah, I'm not going. I got to get out of bed to go.
I'm not going.
Brad, I got to get off the
Brad
couch.
With the jokes.
I have to take two naps to get to somewhere at 5. So
I've been making fun of him all weekend. Next, he's going to be doing pothole jokes and airline food jokes. Make fun of the old guy jokes.
But I do think that it would probably, not to give you any sort of advice, but I do think it would probably be very beneficial to go to some of these events and then come back and you know, editorialize a bit and see and say what you've seen and say what you think could be done better.
No? Perhaps. And, but it's an interesting thing because when I use the words safe or, you know, just whatever, those are editorial words. You know, the event is doing it safely, social distancing. Well, what does safe mean? Does it mean it felt safe, or does it mean nobody that we know of or great numbers showed up at the hospital a week later? You know what, you know what I mean? There's a huge difference. Last night felt safe because of the measures they were taking.
And you were outside, probably? Were you guys outside?
Yeah, we were outside. They took our phone number in case, you know, they do have a case. Like, yeah, they took your temperature and your phone number so they can contact you later on to do contact tracing.
Yep. Yeah. And they do. I mean, they've been taking this very seriously from the start.
Yeah.
So that's the question, kind of. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. So all I can do is contact the people in charge and quote them saying, "We're doing this safely."
Yeah,
it's still not for me to show up and say, "Yeah, I think you're not."
I understand. Now, when you actually see these shows happening, what are usually the caps on them? What's the size of the event?
The largest was probably last night. I guess we had Here Come the Mummies at AT&T Field, which is our minor league baseball field. They were going to limit it to 1,500. The Tivoli is open, started showing movies, 200, which is 12%, which is a random number, but I can explain why if you really care.
I don't.
Yeah, I didn't think you did. and then the Signal, which typically holds 1,300, was limited to about 250. So 1,500 was the
okay.
To be
so
the
first and foremost, 1,500 is a lot of people in that ballpark, even though it's outside. Were they in the infield, or were they all just in the
all over? They had some seating on the infield, some in the grandstands, and some up in the suites. If you bought the suites,
did they sell out?
No.
Well, yeah, it was Here Come the Mummies.
How could Georgia? You had Georgia, Alabama.
All right, so. And then, so the 250, okay, have you talked to the people at the venue who have sold 250 tickets to a 1,200 seat space, person space, and do they make any money whatsoever, or do they just break even?
They make enough money so that the band makes some money, the people waiting, the wait staff makes some money, the venue hopes to break even.
Oof.
And nobody's making any money.
Yeah,
nobody's making any money.
So
on these
look,
type
in,
of events.
We're a live music town in New Orleans, and you know we live and breathe it. And you know we're in phase three, but there's three phases of phase three. We're in phase two of phase three, and indoor music just now started, but they have specifically said no horns. Now I don't know about you, but I don't know how in New Orleans you can survive live music with no horns. And they also said something too: no singing. So basically they just want interpretive guitar.
Yeah. You know, our county school system, went to no more choir, no more vocal groups there. It's all guitar and it's mostly virtual because Songbirds, which we've talked about many, many times, the former guitar museum, the Songbirds Foundation, had already figured out a way to teach guitar online. They've been doing videos. Yeah. So, but your point is singing. Yeah. And that was the other thing we talked about last night at our gathering was a lot of bands don't want to go on the road because the singer, who only that's his only gift in life, doesn't want to get sick.
Well, he probably also has good hair and has worked out a little while.
I mean, it was fun. That was part of the joke was, you know, that but that is his talent is singing. Mm-hmm. And for him to get sick. And now there's reports of it, whether it gets into your lungs or.
Well, there's,
yeah,
this
heart,
is a respiratory
whatever.
Disease.
Yeah, so it's an absolute
there's this really
disaster.
Great story that happened over this weekend or over this week. I don't know if you saw it, but Switzerland they're really upset right now because they've shut down across the country. They've shut down yodeling because there is a yodeling festival in which like 900 people got infected. The number might be 95. I just remember there was a 9 and it was a lot. So they shut down yodeling in the entire country of Switzerland. So, you know, if they can shut down, you know, singing and horns in like what is the point? I don't have a harpsichord. I can just like roll out into the thing and I can't do that. So
isn't that funny? You and I, Brad, we've always, you and I have talked about, you know, somebody had to make that. Mm-hmm. We're fascinated by this idea that somebody had to make that. Mm-hmm. So in our country, it's all these high school kids who, you know, maybe aren't going to get their college scholarship. Somebody in Switzerland has led their whole life looking forward to this 2020 yodeling championship. Yeah. And it just got yanked from under them.
Hey, don't you judge me for my extracurricular activity.
I'm not discounting it. I mean, I'm making light, but I'm not. It's important to them.
Well, so we're getting into phase 3.3, and I think that's when we get indoor music. But again, it's not like we have big venues here. But, you know, what's going to happen is going to be the Tipitinas of the city and the Maple Leaf bars of the city that, you know, have already a cap of 250. You know, I think that, you know, Tipitinas they opened the doors and they had a DJ play outside the door for like the street. And if you don't think that we all just like hung out in the street and like interrupted traffic, you're damn, we did, you know, at this point, you know, survival is going to be on Venmo for a lot of the artists around here. You guys don't necessarily, in a lot of places in the country, don't necessarily have that infrastructure that just supports live music and is willing to go on a street corner and spend $20 on a Venmo.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and let me clarify. We are having Tennessee, Chattanooga, we are probably having more events than some. It certainly appears. But let me make sure to explain, just like I said, the Tivoli is having movies with 200 people. It's a 1,700-seat facility. The Signal is having 250 people. It's a 1,300-wide-open room. The Mummy's thing last night was outdoors at a baseball facility. The concerts that they had were outdoors. So,
well, I understand where you're going. It's responsible.
It's
trying to be responsible.
We have gorgeous weather. We have a lot of outdoor. The things we did last night were outdoors. It's not as reckless. I mean,
I get that, but
what we said earlier about the rural, the numbers going up, that's the sort of irresponsible stuff. This stuff that I'm talking about, we can argue it, but there are a lot more safety measures than one might think.
Sure, and it's not the responsibility aspect. To me, it's where it's all going and if it actually is going to mean anything when we actually get there. So if we spend, you know, the next few weeks with these sort of half measured things and then we all have to, you know, quarantine again.
So when this first happened, I was confused. And then for a couple of months, I thought, we all just need to shut down. Why don't people understand that? And I was sort of a proponent of that. And then I was talking to a lot of people who said, we've got to do something. We have to do something. I just can't watch my business die. True. This includes people at Songbirds and some other people, bars, restaurants. So I sort of swayed back their way. Now, I mean, I have to be honest with you. I'm totally confused.
I wake up in the morning. I know.
And I see the numbers, I see the reports, and then I get these phone calls from people saying, "Hey, we're having an event."
Look,
and I'm
man,
like, are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing? What am I missing?
Look,
you
know? Last night we went to a new friend's house. They were having an outdoor party at their house across town. And there were probably 35 people at the house, but it was a house party that was, you know, had 500 shucked oysters, a shrimp boil, and you know, at the same time, somebody could look and say, this is not very responsible. But at the other time, like, but I really want to go over to that house and eat some oysters.
That's where I am now. To me, it's like a, you're going to laugh because you love these analogies, but it's like a diet. It's like, I've been really good for 5 days.
Yeah, I know.
I deserve a piece of cheesecake.
I know, that cheesecake might kill you.
but that cheesecake is going to kill you.
Yeah.
You don't know, but that's what it seems like. You know,
put it this way. If there's a possibility, if there was a 1 in 1,000 chance of that cheesecake killing you, would you still eat it?
That's the thing that, going back to Lonnie Norman, the mayor, you know, he was 79. There are some people who will say he was 79, an African-American. COVID didn't kill him, you know, like whatever. No, the COVID brought it along quicker. And that's the part people don't want to hear. And I don't think, and this is the good news, maybe, if it's the right word, we're starting to actually now hear from people who have had it, who are saying, you don't want this thing. You know, for 6 months, people are like, it's just the flu. It's a cold.
I heard one person in particular say it actually made them feel better.
Yeah, and I was
20 years younger. And they were Superman and wanted to rip their shirt off with the Superman.
That didn't help anything. Yeah. Ask anybody who's actually had it. And the whole, you know, the long term with the lung and the heart. That you know, if you're 18, 19, 20, you're invincible.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about what that's going to do to you in 20 years.
Well, how about this? If it's not going to be a live show, then it's going to be a virtual show. Spending the weekend with the Bonnaroo virtual show that you did, Barry, what'd you think?
I actually enjoyed it. I enjoyed what I watched.
Yeah.
I loved seeing the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
The Goose. We're hoping to have them on here pretty soon.
What?
Goose.
Oh,
you remember watching
Goose?
Those guys? We all saw Goose.
Yeah, I watched that and I had no idea who they were, and they were not on the Bonnaroo lineup, and I didn't know they were actually booking people on this virtual fest that weren't on the Bonnaroo lineup. I turned it on and I had to go through the lineup trying to figure out who in the hell this was. I had no idea who Goose was, but my God, there were some really good shows in there that you liked a lot, huh?
That was great. And the James Brown thing, I think I reached out to both of you and said, my God, turn this thing on. That 2003, right? Second year. That show, man, that was watching a professional. It was a lot like the McCartney show, where you could just tell, I'm going to show you guys how this is supposed to be done, because it was tight from beginning to end.
It
was amazing. My wife actually, I don't think it started till 9. She had gone to bed and I was hooping and hollering, and she got up and said, what are you doing? I said,
by the way, can we stop for a second? Can I see what it looks like and sounds like if Barry's hooping and hollering?
Can we get a hoop?
I think that describes it perfectly.
I was a hooping and a holler. Taco wants a hoop.
But you know those moments where you sort of come in and
like,
you.
I envision Barry looking like Arsenio Hall.
The giant finger.
Let me ask you: were you rebel rousing as well?
Rabble. Is it rabble or it's rabble rousing?
Rabble rousing.
Rabble. Yeah, rabble rousing. That's actually my one of my online names.
I really just don't see you in the middle of the living room slam dancing to James Brown.
We didn't get to there. We were hooping and hollering. There's a difference between hooping and hollering and slam dancing, Brad. Come on. Do I have to explain that?
Yes, you do. Yes, that's what I'm asking you to do. I need you to show me a little bit of a hoop and a tiny bit of a holler.
I think you got it with the Arsenio.
It's like the threat level.
Yeah, you can hoop and holler from the couch. Slam dancing, you got to be standing. You got to poke.
Let me get this straight. This arm motion and then the big waving finger, the big Bernie Sanders finger, that woke your wife up?
Yes.
Wow. You've got a very powerful fist, if that's
and
the case.
You know that moment where you come in and you sort of look, and then you look, and then you kind of half sit on the couch like you're going to get it back up, but you never leave? That's what she did. Mm-hmm. She ended up watching the whole show. It was terrific. So,
oh, man, I'm now dying for a hoop and holler moment. I mean, I've been to Bonnaroo with you for, what, a decade and a half. I've never seen you hoop nor holler.
I'm trying to think. You probably haven't. You probably haven't.
But yet you're willing to hoop and holler at the house, but not in public. Okay.
That's a good question. Does one ever hoop but not holler?
You just do the hollering? I think so. Yeah, I do question. That on a regular basis. So I do a lot of hollering.
That's like a really disappointing. You almost got there, but you weren't quite committed.
Yeah, yeah.
In sort I of hoped, pregnant. But I couldn't quite.
I couldn't get to the holler. Yeah. That's how I define my sex life.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Could get the hoop, couldn't get the holler.
What was it? Well,
a little bit of hoop, not holler. Much holler.
Never got the holler.
Man, the dancing, you hooping and hollering, I'm going to bet looks a lot like robot Trump dancing. Have you seen the Trump dance that he did last night? It was just like Elaine Benes, like a broken robot.
I'm more into doing the Bernie thing.
Which is what?
Have you seen doing the Bernie?
Let me see it. I'm ready to see it. Let's show it off, Barry.
Put your head back. What's the weekend at Bernie's? Have you not seen that?
Oh, that Bernie. Yeah.
You remember the Bernie. You've seen the Bernie.
Sanders dance.
It's hilarious.
Put the sunglasses on.
Just throw your head back. Yeah, that's okay. Me.
I got
gotcha.
You.
Kind of like a Ray Charles. But
okay.
It's the Bernie, doing the Bernie.
Okay.
That's me. It works. It works anywhere.
Yeah. The biggest dance move I've ever seen Barry do was, it's a little bit of this, and I'll do it for the people watching at home. It's the head bob, right?
Yeah.
The head bob. And then he'll do a face squint added to the head bob. You know, something that's really good.
And then
he'll start sliding with the head bob and the face squinch. And then out of nowhere, you'll hear, oh, shit.
That's my jam.
That's the
if it's really going, I might go side to side.
I can side to side, sure.
Little Stevie Wonder.
That's it.
So you liked the Goose, you liked the Beastie Boys, you liked the James Brown. Anything else of note?
Briston.
How about this? Briston Maroney, our kid, the guy that we're trying to get on the show, which we're going to have him on here soon just to talk about how that all came about. But how about the production levels getting in and out of shows? Was it what were they doing in between the sets?
I'll be honest. It was okay. It was okay. I wasn't enamored. And coincidentally, we at the paper did our own sort of kind of production that same night. And I got to be honest, I was proud of what we did. We did a virtual, just like they did, a lot of pre-recorded stuff.
Any hooping and hollering?
We did, actually, because we had Roger Allen Wade on. And nice. Listeners out there will know Roger. He's local, but he's Johnny Knoxville's cousin. So if you've ever heard Loving You is Like Frying Bacon Naked, and If You're Going to Be Dumb, You Better Be Tough, and Roger's awesome. So there was some hooping and hollering with Roger. But to your question, it was good. It was okay. Some of the bits that they did were a little long. Some of them seemed out of place that sort of killed the moment.
I got a shout out during one of the bits. Should either of you get a shout out?
Only as the What Podcast.
You know
not
what?
By name.
I had no idea. I just assumed that they talked about us a lot. And I'm going to go with that because I know
who was it.
Different.
Who was it, Russ? It was
Lindsay from Lindsay, Roof Fitness that hosted the first Bonnaroo Speakeasy back in June. Bonnaroo asked people to submit a video of, you know, give us your Bonnaroo experience stories, and he talked about how he threw on the Speakeasy Roo, and he was like, and I invited guests, you know, like Lord Taco from the What Podcast. He made it sound like I was the headlining guest.
You probably were.
Big type comes along with Lord Taco's name. Who would have thought? Who's down at the bottom of the poster for the Speakeasy? If you were the top type.
I was at the top, yeah.
Yeah. Nah, crickets, it was good.
Crickets in the river down at the bottom.
It was good. I have to admit, I was surprised how much time I spent watching it. It wasn't a lot, you know, but over 3 days, and they didn't start till 4:30 in the afternoon Central Time, so 5:30. So,
but are you now that you've seen it, are you a fan of the virtual shows?
No.
Okay.
Okay. No, it doesn't really replace anything.
No, I had specific reasons for watching the shows that I watched. The Beasties, I was there, and I've said many times on this show.
He just did it. I knew it was going to come at some point. You just did it, Barry.
What?
My favorite Barryism on this show is whenever he's talking about Bonnaroo and he's talking about going all in on Bonnaroo, his first line is always, "You're there. You have to camp. It's all
no, I didn't say that.
There. And you just started this, the live stream. While I was watching the live stream, I was there. every time.
Okay. Two different things, I think. No. My point is, I watched that one, but I wasn't into it because I wasn't that big a fan. And it was later that I realized I missed a heck of a show because I wasn't paying full attention. So to be able to see it again was great. And the James Brown one, you know, that was before social media. So that one really hasn't been seen.
But would you pay for it?
No. And I get the point of your question. No.
So even if it was a show that you wanted to see with an artist that you want to see, you wouldn't pay $10?
Probably not.
Wow. Okay.
Probably not.
Well, I say it because Glass Animals just did a live stream, you know, and look, a lot of them live streams. Billie Eilish is about to do one. You know, Machine Gun Kelly has done one. And, you know, they're all charging about $10. And some are, I mean, I don't know what the level of success is here. I really don't. Let me, I'd love to know how much money it cost them to put this whole thing on.
Let me restate
what they got back for it.
As a fan, I would not. But given the situation that we're in and understanding that these guys need to make money, I might actually. For that reason. Not because I want to see it as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I would do it out of some sense of obligation because they're trying to make a living.
So I had a very weird chat with Machine Gun Kelly the other day. And Machine Gun Kelly, if you don't know him, I mean, he's not a Bonnaroo artist, and I highly doubt he'd ever be on the farm. But he's got the number one album in the country. He's got the number one single in the country. And he's gone to war with Eminem. Eminem called him out on an album, and sort of his claim to fame is he's dating like Megan Fox right now. But he's a really troubled dude, and he has got a lot of depression, and, you know, he's gone from rapper now to, like, pop rocker. And so he's got this album out, and we're talking, and I know he's got a lot of depression. I know he's got a lot of, like, you know, mental issues, and then compound it all with, you know, his dad dying a couple of months ago during COVID, and now he's got an album release. And I said, you know, I know you probably got to be on top of the world. And he, of course, brushed that off. He's not on top of the world. And then I said, well, okay, maybe you're not on top of the world, but at least you're being able to do shows again, right? And he just erupted at me because it was like a piece of management was forcing him to do these live shows. Mm. He hated it. He doesn't want to do it. It's not real to him. And it sounds like somebody's just having to do because they're being told they have to do it and not something they really want to do. And if that's the case, I don't know how much investment I'm putting into that.
Interesting. Yeah. Watching the virtual reality, you could tell some of them were thrilled to be able to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Some were doing it probably for that reason that you just mentioned. That's an interesting point.
And I wonder how much they got paid. Like Paul, when St. Paul did an actual live show.
That was
show.
A great one too, by the way.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Oh my.
You think they got $1,500? I really want to know how much they probably paid for this. I don't know if St. Paul and the Broken Bones did it for free.
I forgot about that one. That one was incredible. Except, bless his heart, that cape thing. I'm not sure.
Is he still doing the cape thing?
He's losing some hair.
Okay.
So you had the combination of, but oh my God, he sang his ass off.
Yeah.
We got to get him back on the show at some point too.
He was, one of my favorites. Yeah. That's a great, it's all just break even stuff, Brad. I mean, that's all I'm hearing. Nobody that I know other than like home improvement places are making a lot of, there are people making a lot of money. If you've got anything to do with home improvement, you're making a lot of money right now.
Mm-hmm.
But musicians, artists, maybe a few artists have figured out a way. They're just doing it for sanity's sake and to stay relevant and to keep their name out there.
The other thing that I've noticed, and I know that this sounds negative, and I don't want it to be, but boy, you've got a lot of artists putting out new music, and it's sometimes quarantine inspired new music. Boy, I haven't heard much that's very good. And if you have something that you've found that's new, please turn me on to it, because I mean, I'm in this every day, and I play new music on my radio station every day, and boy, oh boy, do I find a lot of it to be garbage. Even the stuff that we're not playing, like, I hate to say it, I love Local Natives so much, but boy, this EP is just not very good. I love James Blake. Oh my God, do I love James Blake. He put out an EP. It's just okay. Yeah. And I don't know or if it's them. And I'm willing to be convinced on this, because I can't imagine that I'm right just yet. But it could very well be me, and me just not wanting to give much, a lot of room for error. And the data proves it. If you go back, and I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, but if you go back and see what people are downloading, consuming, listening to, it's all familiar.
Yeah.
People's appetite for new products is almost nil.
You and I talked about this in relationship to a story I did on radio is doing very well. It's that comfort food.
Classic rock and we're AC radio is doing really, really well.
Yeah. Yep. We want comfort. We want what we grew up with. We want what feels good. We want that blanket that we sleep with every night, you know, the pillow or whatever. And that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, look at the last few records I've bought from Rusted Wax. I mean, it's all old stuff that I've, you know, it's not new stuff that I'm checking out. It's, I want to go back and get the old stuff.
And I can't,
the familiar.
I hate that I'm saying that the Local Natives project's not good, and I'm not that big of a fan of James Blake's new stuff, but nothing's hitting me like I want it to hit me. And I don't know if it's me and the situation that we're all in, or if, you know, maybe they're not even, but I don't know. I don't want to blame them, but for right now where I am, it's not hitting me. Nothing's getting me.
I mean, I would put it maybe in relationship to this podcast. I mean, we've talked about this same thing now for 6 months. We don't have anything particularly new to add. I think you and I, because of who we talk
always,
to.
There's always my hair.
Yeah, it's interesting.
interesting.
You know what I mean? It's like, seriously, I wouldn't know what to put on a record right now. I mean, the entire world is going through this. So who is going to be that person that thinks, I have a really unique perspective?
Right now is the song. Yeah, this is it. And, you know, the new King
nobody's
Princess,
thought of this perspective.
The new King Princess song is terrible. And I feel for our friends in Repeat. They've got new music, and I've heard it's good. It's good. But how does it affect, and how does it land in a world right now? And please, if you've got something new that is making you feel something, please send it my way, because I'm dying to find anything that's interesting.
It's not a knock on anybody recording right now. It's just, how is it going to land, as you said, with the masses when there's so many things going on that are, in some ways, we're all in it together, we're all related, but each person is dealing with it uniquely. Mm-hmm. You know, I just can't imagine literally being a songwriter and saying, get this thing that's going to hit with everybody right now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, what would that be?
Well, speaking of which, you know who's writing something and has something on the precipice of being released? And that's all I can say about it right now is our friend Lizzo.
Is she?
Yeah. And, you know, again, it's going to be an experiment to see if a, you know, banger can be released and affect people like, oh, I don't know, the Ocean Spray guy on TikTok does. You know, I don't know. We'll see.
That's the point. That's my point. Yeah. Does she come out, oh, everything's great, we're all in it together, or does it come out?
Do we have an appetite for just a big over-the-top banger like, you know, Lizzo's? I don't know. We'll see. I can't imagine this all. It better hit at the right time, the right moment. But
that's exactly
Lizzo. You better get us hooping and hollering.
If I don't hoop and holler, God
and holler
and holler
and holler.
No deal if there's no holler.
Is there anything else we missed to get through today?
Any other news, Taco? You can remember.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, since they announced the dates are back in September now, what does that do to the whole timeline? Does that shift, you know, because normally they would drop the lineup in January. Are we still getting that in January, or is that delayed now? What's the, you know, what's the timeline for our,
if it's me, honestly, and Brad may have a differing opinion, I think they just landed on those dates because they needed to pick dates. I don't think they know any more than anybody else, because as we've said at the beginning of the show, we're in what, phase three of phase two.
Yeah.
So I just think they just picked a date to get it on there to shoot for, and whether that is firm. And I don't mean this, you know, I'm not throwing shade their way at all. I just think, if I was in a boardroom, what are we going to do? Let's pick a date. Let's put it out there, get it on the calendar, because everybody's going to be shooting for fall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting question. When I posed a similar question, insert person here, they said that when I said, well, originally they told us, I was told that 90% of the lineup will be carrying over. And I said, is that going to be the same case for a September date? And the answer was explicitly, I have no idea. So to me, the 90%, you might as well just throw that out the window. And my bet is you can go through the lineup and find the ones that you can count on. You can probably even add a couple of things that you can count on, like a My Morning Jacket, who's a friend of the festival, and, you know, throw in a Jack Johnson type here and there, and you're going to be able to put something together, and make it work. But, you know, a lot of those deals a year and a half later, are they still going to be wanting,
Lizzo?
Yeah. Who knows?
I think that's a great example. We don't know how that album, and you made the point last time we talked, you know, she had the zeitgeist. She was it. Now we're talking 2 years later. Do I want to hear that again? Is it the same audience? Does the 18-year-old that might buy the ticket even know who she is or care at that point? And how is this record going to do? So, you know, not to jump on your thought, but that's a great point. I mean, that's the whole thing, is who knows what's going to be hot.
Yeah, and it's not just hot. It's who's going to be willing and able to be touring come September. You know, we've got a show in New Orleans booked for next November. And I know who the band is. I know who they are. I know where they're putting it. But, you know, again,
next November.
I know. And you know, how do you make the rest of dates work this far out when you there's this much uncertainty? So, you know, Taco, to your question, when is the line? If it was me, no, better yet, my bet is that you're not going to get a lineup until summer. You're not getting a lineup until late spring, because not one person's going to know how anything's going to route, how anything's going to track. I don't know how you're going to put together a tour that's going to supplement a festival date. There's no possible way to know until, you know, we get in through Christmas, through an election, through another wave of all of this. And then the first of spring, if things start to look like we have something under control, I don't know how you put this together. I don't know how you put it together.
Yeah, and that uncertainty trickles down to us, because we usually try to plan, you know, a January to June season of a podcast from lineup release to festival. That throws us out of whack, because we don't know what's coming when, and you know.
Well, should probably address that a little bit. And to that point, I'm glad you brought that up. We need to thank all the folks that are sticking with us. Cause,
no
I
kidding.
Mean,
yeah.
Who in the world? We never thought, you know, we would do as many shows as we've done.
Yeah, we've done 2 seasons worth of shows in one year.
With no festival.
with no festival.
That's my point, with no festival. So obviously there is interest, and thank you, guy. I mean, I can't thank you guys enough for the interest.
No,
and I've had a few people reach out, when's the next show? And
exactly.
It's not that we, you know, we don't want to do them. It's just, man, the next festival is not till September. So, but what we want to do is get more guests. Some of the acts that we saw at Ruality that we loved, and some of the ones that, I mean, I think we just open it up and just talk to who we want to. And, but if you guys have ideas, send us an email or whatever. And Brad does a great job of coming up with the ideas, and I'm sure we'll keep doing that. But
I mean, it's the Patreons that have basically kept the show going, really, because that's who really is, you know, supporting us, not just financially, but just, you know, their interest in the show is kept us from not just letting it die.
Russ, you and I went and had beers with Daniel yesterday. I mean, that's a Bonnaroo connection. So it's there, and we get it. And so we'll keep doing it.
To Taco's point, I mean, do you know how many times I've said, oh, I just want to shut it down? keep forcing me to, because there's obviously, you know, enough people that are, you know, screaming for, you know, more to talk more about Bonnaroo, which is, let's be honest with each other. It's insane.
It is insane. and to that, I think what we want to do is do it so that it's fun. We don't want to keep coming on here and saying life sucks and this pandemic's killing the music festival. I don't want to be that guy. So we'll keep figuring it out. And thank you guys for listening. And yeah, we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah,
which is why we're back here today. I mean, this is October, whatever, you know, 18th, there's no reason 19th. To have done it now other than people are asking and we wanted to do it. So,
yeah, it really does mean a lot. And if there's one other thing that we probably need to say just in general, and I hate to do this because I really don't ever like being the cliche, you know, dude that says all the stuff that you're, you know, supposed to say. But please, God Almighty, go vote.
Yes.
And do it. You know what? Actually, just do it now and get it over with. So you don't have to worry about this anymore. You don't have to talk about it anymore. You can turn the TV off from now until, you know, probably December 5th. just go do it now. Please,
yeah.
God. Please,
early God. Voting is going on right now in Tennessee and Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, man, the lines in New Orleans around the Smoothie King Center. It's unbelievable the amount of early vote that had 20 as of today, 26 million people have early voted. And by the time we get to the debate on Thursday, we're going to be at 35. That's
amazing.
Insane to me. All right. Is there anything else we need to get to before we go?
Well, we should probably, since we mentioned the Patreons, we should probably thank them.
Barry Corder. It's all you, my friend.
Oh, you're killing me. I don't have it in front of me.
Taco is about to say, I know what he's about to say. He's going to say, it's like we do this every week,
I
Barry.
I know. He sent it to me. I don't have it in front of me.
Every time it happens, every time.
Do you have it, Russ? You want to?
I can pull it up.
Sure. Will you read them?
Okay.
I haven't had Russ read them yet.
I've read them a couple times.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Do it.
Do it. We have 41.
Okay.
Let me pull up their names.
And thank you, guys. We said that before, but thank you.
Yeah. Brad, you mentioned too, like if anyone knows of, you know, new music that's out that, you know, you would like or we would like, send it our way. Just tweet it at us.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What about
do.
We should mention probably this week, Russ? We need to. We're trying to set up a site where you guys can buy some of the merch that we put together.
Oh yeah.
Listeners who are not Patreons, we got koozies and stickers and T-shirts and
we got a lot of merch and once we can get the storefront set up and you know the payment processing, then you know you'll be able to
look at that,
buy some merch directly from us without having to be a sign up for Patreon.
Coolest kid on your block with a never not great T-shirt,
which obviously Barry decided to shun today. Instead of that, he decided to wear a Bonnaroo staff shirt. Thanks, Barry.
I have like 5 shirts. Me and Brian Stone.
I've literally not worn, I've never worn less clothes than in the last 8 months. I've just been wearing the same things over and over and over.
How many times have you had long pants on?
I'm wearing them right now.
I never wear them.
I had to put some on last night because it was cold out.
Yeah, it's gotten cold. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Russ. We're
all right, ready?
Starting to bore me.
DJ Bryce Brinson, Kyle Boyle, Riley Benson, Madison Hudzicko, DK, Benjamin Wells, Tori, Daniel and Charla Horton, Daniel we saw last night, Jacob Marty, Musical Antlers, Mary T, Andrew T. McBride, Justin Nigro, Sean McCain, David Henson, David Solano, Brooke Tussey, Lauren Edholm, Nick Yeatman, Melanie and Jesse Feldman from Rust and Wax. I think they just moved into a new facility.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. That looks great.
Tyrone Basket, Catherine Riccio, Timothy Proctor, Aaron Carlson, Evan Brown, Ross McNamara, William Richards, Meredith Rittman, Parker Reed, William Wilhoit, Sean McCarthy, Ryan Mathewson, Lisa Condor, David Grimes, Linda Doles, Ella, Chelsea Davis, Dan Sweeney, Phil Hanley, Chloe Hannon, and Jason Hazelbaker.
There you go. Thank you guys so much. We really do appreciate it. If you want to be a Patreon, you still can. TheWhatPodcast.com.
We have them open.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we keep talking about how we're going to redo all of the layers and the tiers, but we haven't done that either.
We haven't done that yet.
Yeah, okay. All right. by the way, one more time, if you hear the beep, supermarket sweep. We'll talk to you next time on The What Podcast. Love you. Bye.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year? That matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.